Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman, and welcome to What Women Must Know, a show empowering you with truthful information so you can make the most informed decisions possible for you and your family and your community. And it's all about getting empowered with truthful information. Before we begin the second part of a fantastic interview that I initiated last week and we're continuing this week, I want to ensure you to invite everyone to access my archives by going to Dr. Cheryl Selman, my website, drcherylselman.com. If you opt in there, all these shows and a lot of other information will get sent to you every week. And my Facebook page is also What Women Must Know, another place to get the archives for all of my shows, as well as great information that really will keep you on the leading edge. I also invite you to my second show on Progressive Radio Network, which is called The Love Code, which is every Sunday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And, of course, if you opt into Dr. Cheryl Selman or my Facebook page, then you will get all of my shows. So I hope you will do that because these shows really will make a huge difference in your life. And that's the purpose of this show. That's my purpose in life. And the purpose of our conversation today is to further enlighten you with my very special guest, Dr. Jack Cruz. For those of you who haven't listened to my previous show, I just want to share a little bit about Dr. Jack Cruz. He is a respected neurosurgeon and CEO of Optimized Life, a health and wellness company dedicated to helping patients avoid the healthcare burdens we typically encounter as we age. And he is currently in private practice in New Orleans in the Gulf South. He is on a mission to reshape healthcare in America by educating the masses and their doctors on what it looks like to achieve optimal health and reverse chronic disease. And as a neurosurgeon, Dr. Cruz's research has been published in respected dental and medical journals. He has a popular blog at jackcruz.com, and I want everyone to know Cruz is K-R-U-S-E. And he just told me he has over 3 million worldwide visitors every month from countries all over the world. And he is the author of the best-selling book, EpiPaleoRx, The Prescription for Disease Reversal and Optimal Health. It's a really inspiring conversation we're having today. As I said, this is part two. I just have been so inspired by Dr. Cruz's conversations with me. The last time we were talking about adrenal health and everything you need to know and didn't know that you needed to know about the adrenals and how to really repair them. And I've asked Dr. Cruz to come back before we jump into the topic at hand, which is what you need to know about 5G and how to protect yourself from exposure to this new level of microwave radiation frequencies that is now coming online all over the world. I wanted to ask Dr. Cruz if he could just kind of recap five strategies that he believes are the most critical things we can do to help support and regenerate our adrenals. So having said that, I want to welcome Dr. Jack Cruz to the show. Hi, Jack.
Hello, I'm back.
That was a mouthful. I had to get that all out. there's so much we want to talk about, and I'm so glad you have made time to be back with us on the show. It's just always a wonderful opportunity, very inspiring to have you with us. So I'm just going to ask you to jump right in, and can we just cover those five? I've just suggested five. You may have less. You may have more. But
I got the top four. The top four is going to cover for most people. So if you listen to part one of this, this is the take home for part one.
Okay.
There's two sides of the coin. We covered them pretty in detail. Number one, you must see the sunrise every single day of your life from this point forward. Never miss it. I don't care if the sun's out or it's cloudy. Just see it. Do it for as long as you can. Longer is better. The better you get, shorter is fine. Second part of that, which would be part two, is you need to block Allen. What's Allen? Artificial light at night. So at nighttime, I need blue blockers on. I need your skin covered. I need you, if you're going to watch TV, use the computer, do this and that, you need to make sure that either you have an ambient red light in your environment to offset the blue that you're getting. Or if you're wise, you won't do that. You'll start using fire. And technically, the use of fire and red light is probably number three. Number four is when we're truly connected to nature. And I mean, I want you spending as much time in nature as possible. Time officially melts, and so does adrenal fatigue. So number four is probably the slope of the line of fading to mediocrity is proportional to the coherence of your connection to nature. So you need to be connected to nature. Number five, the last thing, cold thermogenesis. And we didn't spend very much time talking about that at all. But what that is when it's cold out, I want you outside. And if you really have bad adrenal fatigue, you need to look into my cold thermogenesis protocol. There's a deep reason for that. I'm not going to go into it here. But the easiest thing for you to understand, it shrinks your electron chain transport proteins so that you become more energy and information efficient so that you get better quicker. And those would be my top five.
So that last number five with the cold thermogenesis, so without going into great details, but if people just end their shower with cold water and just let
not
that run over, not good
yeah,
enough?
I'm not, gonna, not for adrenal fatigue.
Okay.
I think for most people the answer is yes, but you really need to understand how cold improves free radical signaling by condensing the ECT. It's a lot more complicated than we
right.
probably want to get into here, because we'll spend
right.
the whole hour
yeah.
just talking about CT.
Yeah.
Maybe CT
yeah.
is a completely separate hour that we talk about. But the reason why it's incredibly important ties back to what I told you when we spoke the last time, is that there's two autonomic nuclei in the brainstem. One is the paraventricular nucleus. The other one's the vagal motor nucleus. Turns out that cold works on that vagus. Cold increases your parasympathetic function, and it does it through a very, very circuitous, interesting pathway based on the fat pad that you have on the back of your neck. So when you do CT, I want the cold water on the back of your neck across the nape of your shoulders, and I'd rather your neck up to your chin covered in the cold water. That will actually help you the most. And it's not something that I would throw you right into the cold water with extreme adrenal fatigue, because you probably won't tolerate it. But it's a gradated fashion that I use with people to do that. And I tell people, even if you get in water that's 1 degree less than your body temperature, you're effectively CTing. Obviously, I'm going to ramp you up pretty fast to pretty cold water pretty quickly through my protocol, which you can find on my website. It is free. You don't have to pay anything. You can just go put Jack's name in and the cold thermogenesis protocol, and I'll teach you how to start. To learn how to do it in your bathtub at home, and then you'll be progressing to cold baths very, very quickly.
There you go. And that's why everyone needs to go to your website, jackcruz.com, because you have all this information there. This is a whole new paradigm. I call you a paradigm buster, Jack, you know, and that's what you are. And if people are curious and want to know what really is going to work and open to looking at things from different angles, different perspectives, then, you know, that's where you find your answers. You never find your answers really in what you've known. It's what you don't know. It's going where you haven't ever been before. And that's where you find solutions and answers.
That's how you solve the Dunning-Kruger effect. For those of
yep.
you who don't know what the Dunning-Kruger effect is, when you become aware of the things you don't know, and it turns out they're the most important part of the piece, your life officially changes.
Yeah.
That's probably the best way to describe what Jack really does. I teach you stuff that you have
you didn't
no
know
idea.
That you didn't even know
exactly.
it existed. You know,
exactly.
It's like you don't know what you don't know. It's beyond it.
Right.
But that's the exciting place, because that's where all these new possibilities exist.
You got it. And the thing is, the I guess the cool thing about me that Cheryl probably can vouch for, I'm not one of those guys on the internet that just tells you some crazy, wacky crap and doesn't back it up. You come see me and I will overwhelm you with information, so much so that you'll feel like you're drinking from a fire hose. And The point of that is I want you to know just how dead serious I am about these things. Because once you realize how important it is and you start to apply it, you will move the needle no matter how sick you are right now.
Yeah. And I think that's why people like coming to my show, because I am dedicated to stretching people, you know, just expanding and pulling them further out and exposing them to ideas and people, concepts, constructs that will offer new possibilities. You know, we got to step out of everything we know to really, that's a key of life. I mean, to me, that's a truth. You always have to go further. You have to go beyond what you're comfortable with, because
absolutely,
there's more waiting for us, a lot more waiting
well,
for
you
us.
Well, you know, wounds create our wisdom. And, you know, the thing is, this is one of the big problems with, you know, some of the paradigms that are present between parents and kids that drive me crazy. We shouldn't give kids trophies for everything. We shouldn't try to be their friends. We should try to be their parents. You have to teach people, and the best way you learn lessons, most people, is when they get a little taste of blood in their mouth and they realize, okay, I need to do better. The smartest people in the world, as far as I'm concerned, are the ones that can learn these lessons without ever tasting blood. The problem is, I think those people are the rarest of rare. They're out there. There's no question. But that's not how most people learn.
Right. And, I agree. We, you know, we have to create some events. Usually it's, either a health crisis, relationship crisis, you know, career crisis. It's always going to lead us to something better if we are willing to really understand the purpose and do what it takes.
No doubt.
So let's talk about 5G. I have been talking about the dangers of EMFs for about 10 years now. And it's when we still had 2G, I think. We had flip phones. As I continue to investigate this subject and lecture and write about it, I just get more and more concerned. So now we're at the tipping point, I would say, on the planet of consequences of exposure to these microwave radiations from all the next level, this 5G level, the fifth generation, as it's called, of microwave radiation. So I wanted you to talk about it because you have some very profound insights as to what's happening, the consequences, and also hopefully, Jack, you'll give us some suggestions for solutions, of ways we can protect ourselves, how we can navigate this new 5G world.
Yeah, I mean, my perspective on this is going to be also quite different than probably anybody else you're going to get on. I'm actually pretty optimistic about 5G for one of the reasons that we just mentioned. I think it's going to create a ton of wounds, and it's going to create a ton of wounds all around us in medicine and in the public. And the people who are going to survive this onslaught are going to be just like any other survivors in any other realm. Those that make the right first decision are going to be the ones that survive this the best. The ones that make serially bad decisions are going to be taken out just the way evolution would have them taken out. Most of your people who are listening to this probably think that 5G is like a coming future attraction. I've got bad news for you and probably bad news for the young lady that's interviewing me. 5G has been with us a lot longer than most of you want to know. There are certain zip codes that are out there that have been bathing in 5G unbeknownst to themselves for quite some time. The federal government, the military, and the people that you used to be able to trust have not really told you what's really truly going on around you. So the first place we need to start is let's talk about 0G to 5G, because that's where we started. 0G for most of the people in the United States began probably around, I'd say 1920, 1930. We didn't really start with electromagnetic radiation until we really had radio and radar waves. And that started really with the bombing of Pearl Harbor, when the military started to realize when radar came into fashion, that's when things ramped up. My members who probably would argue this point, because I argue this point, I look at light as non-negative EMF, so I take it all the way back really to 1879 when Edison came out with the light bulb and Tesla made the AC power grid in 1893. But for want and purposes of what we're going to talk about here, I want to focus in on the telecommunications that we use today, because that's the biggest change in all of our lives that really began in 1940. Most people would tell you that we really didn't have to worry about this up until about 1991, 92, 93 when the internet started, because everybody was still up on dial-up at that time. And most of the people probably listening to this are old enough like me where they remember that AOL and that stupid dial tone. That's kind of what the zero-G environment was. The problem that we have now is the federal government about 8 or 9 years ago started this study that many of you probably have heard about called the NTP study on EMF radiation. And the reason they did that study is because there is a lot of data out there that showed that electromagnetic radiation, non-ionizing, actually had biologic effects. And there's been a lot of contention in the literature that that's, in fact, not true. And it turns out, if you look at the people who pay for the studies, if they're tied to industry, they usually get the results they want. And if you happen to be a researcher that's truly studying this because you're interested in it, they actually found the facts. And that is true going all the way back to really the beginning of time. And if you look at the real pioneers in this area, I consider Robert O. Becker probably one of the best. He wasn't the earliest, but he was the best because the federal government relied on him. He's an orthopedic surgeon at the University of Syracuse. He was an orthopedic researcher and clinician, and he did research on mammalian regeneration. And he noticed in the 1960s that electromagnetic pollution would affect limb regeneration in animals that he studied. And he became very, very concerned about this through the 60s and 70s and into the 80s, so much so that he started to go from being a government expert to government enemy number one. And in 1977, after he went on public television with 60 Minutes with Wallace, basically his funding was taken away from the federal government after that. You need to understand a little bit how this happened, but he was the world expert, multiply nominated for Nobel Prize back in the day in the 60s and 70s. But in 1973, he gave public testimony to Congress and the military that basically said some of these RF antennas that we were using to track some of our submarines absolutely had a biologic effect. And he actually used as a proxy for this electric power lines that were currently in vogue at that time. And believe it or not, some of those power lines are still available today in most locations. And he went on to hire a really, really smart guy who went on to become a lawyer because of all these different things that Becker and him faced in public deposition just to protect themselves from the onslaught that they got. But this guy that I'm speaking about, his name is Dr. Andrew Marino, and he was a physicist, basically a biophysicist, and he became a lawyer. And he happened to work in Becker's lab. Becker hired him to do many of these studies that he found on limb regeneration, because he found that electromagnetic radiation had massive effects on cells. And one of the key things that Becker and Marino found is that a 765 kilovolt electric power line in 1977 in upstate New York, very close to where he practiced, actually was capable of affecting the Earth's magnetosphere 80,000 kilometers above the planet. And when people heard this in 1977, people couldn't fathom it, but he went and testified to Congress, and Marino backed him up with the experiments that proved that beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is in fact what was capable. Now, you guys listening to this today in 2019 have to remember that nobody at that time, except the extremely rich, had a microwave oven. Only kind of RF we were using back at that time was pretty limited around radar and radio antennas. So back then, this wasn't that big a deal. It turns out that when Becker and Marino proved what they proved, that's when the government began to shelter all of their data from the public record. That's when the NIH stop funding researchers who is truly interested in finding all this information out. The reason for this, if you know where the history of the internet came from, it came from DARPA, which is actually a part of the Department of Defense that got into cahoots with Harvard University and Stanford and a company you may have heard of called Cisco out in California to basically form the internet back in the 1960s to wire colleges together so that scientists could share data quicker. From that project, from the Department of Defense and DARPA, came the internet, and the internet grew. The federal government then, with big tech, Intel, Cisco, all the big players that you know about from the 1990s, Microsoft, they created the internet. And the internet basically connects computers, and it does it through a network, and it uses electromagnetic radiation to do it. So when Becker and Marino started to talk about this stuff in the 1973-77 area, this was devastating to the retooling of the United States economy. See, we were moving from an industrial economy that we started in the 1890s to the tech economy that all of you know today. The problem is in the 1970s and 80s, nobody realized that we were going to completely retool our economy to what we have today, which is Google, Facebook, LinkedIn, all these types of things that all of you take for granted now. The problem is the entire backbone of the federal economy on Wall Street and in the Department of Defense is based on this tech use. And that's developed over time. The reason I want to give nobody any illusions here. The reason this is never going to change, and you should know that, is because if it did change, our economy would tank and we'd all be in up Schitt's Creek without a paddle. So you need to understand how this operates so that you can navigate in this environment to go, because you're not going to get any help from the Department of Defense, from the military, or the federal government. I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican. They're both entangled to the story. And this story for me has a very twisted fate, because it turns out my congressman, when I was a resident at LSU, was Billy Tozan. Billy Tozan was the one that signed the 1996 FCC Act that basically put the burden of proof on the public from corporations to prove that non-native EMF was a problem. And they went a step further. The last thing that got put in the bill that was devastating to people is that in the future, if it ever shows up that this radiation causes biologic effects, we can't go back and sue these companies because this was good for the public domain. So people need to understand this. And if you want to understand the process fully, I would strongly recommend everybody who listens to this podcast go read Andrew Marino's book called Going Somewhere. It is a treatise on absolutely how all these different things happen. And it goes into way more detail than I'm going to get into in this podcast. But I strongly would recommend, like Cheryl asked me before, what would be one of the top five things for adrenal fatigue? This is number six. You must read this book, okay? It's just a game changer. So once you understand the process, then you need to understand about this NTP study. The study was begun almost 10 years ago, and the federal government, to their credit, paid for it. And they really wanted to know, really, was there an effect? Because they knew that they were going to start irradiating the public. To show you just how sinister the whole situation was, the EPA in the United States used to do a yearly study of how much non-native EMF was above our heads. The last time that study was ever done in the United States was 1979. Jimmy Carter's administration stopped doing that, and the reason why they stopped is because the Department of Defense told them that this was probably not a good idea to have this information in the federal domain, in the public domain, so people would know about it. And for any of you who are old enough like I am to remember what the world was like in 1979, we were more worried about hostages in Iran. Nobody had cell phones and nobody had computers except the extremely wealthy. and nobody had microwave ovens. That soon changed in the 1980s, 90s, and 2000s, and where this really got ramped up is when, in 1986, you started to hear about Ronald Reagan talk about Star Wars. And that's when we started getting into these electromagnetic weapons that the military was beginning to develop. Well, it's also when the internet became a serious commercial reality. And these companies in California began to build parts of the system, Cisco being the network component, Intel providing the chips. Companies like AMD would build the semiconductor fabrication plants that would allow us to all connect. And if any of you remember, in 1990, we actually had on the cover of Time magazine, you know, the prediction of what was going to happen. Like, they predicted Google, Facebook, all these different things, not in so many words that you would understand it in today's terms, but they knew what was coming. And the government was absolutely all in to retool the economy because they knew this would be a big deal. And for those of you who probably remember, in 1984, during the Super Bowl, Apple came out with their famous, you know, commercial that kind of told everybody the world was going to change. Well, the funny thing is, back in 1990 to 94, 95, you could have bought Apple stock about $5 or $6 a share. They were garbage. Well, things started to change later in the 1990s because guess what? Apple became the first truly successful commercial selling to retails to use the internet to their advantage. What was built out around all of us was the Microsofts and the Ciscos. Those were the big tickets in the 90s and early 2000s. What that basically did is it ramped up the use of devices that use electromagnetic radiation. And why am I spending so much time explaining this to you? Because I know she's going to ask me sooner or later, what's the single number one most important thing we need to do? You need to know about the inverse square law. And it turns out with 5G, the single best protection strategy is you have to not live around a lot of obedient idiots. Let me explain what that means. The more people that use radiation around you, the higher your risk is. Why is this a big deal? In the last 3 years, the United States has finally admitted that if you live in a big city, longevity has dropped 3 straight years. The reason for that, I'm going to tell you today, is because there's more people that live in cities. Every person that lives in a city has between 9 and 15 devices that emit radiation. That's the reason it's occurring. Okay? This will end your life quicker than you want to know. Most people know about all the things going on in 2018 about how social media is addicting to kids, and now the kids are killing themselves. Now we have school shootings. Very few people realize that these things are linked back to our use of electromagnetic radiation. You may think that's hyperbole today, listening to this podcast. I can promise you in the next 2 or 3 years, you're going to remember this, because I've been telling my member this for 10 years. I made these predictions 10 years ago, okay? That's what I've been telling my people, because I understand electromagnetic radiation, and I understand what it does biologically to us. To finish the story about the NTP study, so the federal government came out with the initial report in 2015, and the initial report was really shocking to everybody, including the federal government. So shocking that they shelved the study and asked researchers to relook at the data more carefully to make sure that they weren't making any mistakes. So this study was done on nocturnal mammals, and they used 1G to 3G radiation, and it showed that these animals all had biologic problems. The number one issue was cancer, and they had cancer in really weird places that normally they wouldn't get it. And the reason why this was really, really bad news for the government, it's the first time that an independent study from a government that was not polluted by any of the big corporations really showed that we truly don't understand electromagnetic radiation as well as the physicists would have you believe. So on November 1st, 2018, we're just talking a couple months ago, the final tally came out on this study. And what it said, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that nocturnal animals do have biologic effects from non-native EMF. And it turned out, when they looked at the data, it turned out that RF radiation was a whole lot bigger deal than anybody thought. Why is this a big deal? Because here we are in this podcast talking about 5G, and we'll get into what 5G physically means, but 5G is a combination of RF and microwaves. And if you would have asked Jack 12 months ago which part of the 5G story was the bigger deal, I would have told you it was the microwaves. Jack's going to tell you now in January 2019, oh no, people, it's the RF side that we got to worry about. And that's the key message from the NTP study. Why is that a big deal? Because it turns out the United States government started to use RF all the way back to Edison. And we've had this in our environment for 125 years. And guess what? When you realize this and you layer back all the chronic Neolithic diseases that we have for the last 20, 25 years, you start to realize that they're all tethered back to when man started to use the electromagnetic spectrum to his communication or light advantage. That's where the problems began. Prior to that, when we used fire or kerosene or light, the problems were pretty small. And I want everybody to be very clear on this, because can you get electromagnetic pollution prior to 1879? The answer is yes. How it happens is through physics, but it's the physics of sunlight and the sun's magnetic sphere. When the sun's magnetic power decreases, more high-energy cosmic radiation is let into Earth. So that's the reason why we have actually reports of people with cataracts back 5,000 years ago. The point that I'm trying to make you, it's not just man-made stuff. I'm trying to tell you the part of the spectrum that's outside the visible part is the part we all have to worry about. Because guess what? Life is optimized to the solar radiations. That's only one part of 73 octaves of the entire electromagnetic spectrum. That's what your mitochondria is designed to work with, between 250 and 780 nanometer light. That's where all your free radicals are made that are normal. Anything outside of that is a problem for biology. What we now know in 2019 is that the stuff that we used to think that was non-ionizing, it's a problem. And it's a problem because you have to understand the physics or the biophysics between how mitochondria work to make these free radicals in your body. And it turns out it doesn't have to be ionizing radiation to do it. That's the state of affairs now. So what is the difference between 1G and 5G? Well, 1G radiation, most of it used RF radiations. It also used microwaves, and it was actually relatively simple. It turns out that it still led to a lot of biologic issues, but these things ramped up. We went from 1G to 3G over about 10 or 12 years. Most of the United States right now is still 3G and 4G, but there's now at least, by my counts, my last count, about 127 cities that have been 5G for a long time. And you have to realize the ones that they publicly have talked about just here recently in 2018, they admitted 20. But if they turned them on in 2018, that means they've been testing it for at least 5 to 7 years before that. I can promise you that every major United States city with over 500,000 people has had 5G in it to some degree for testing, because it turns out what's the difference between 5G and everything else? We have become so addicted to cell phone communications and technology. People now want their Netflix downloaded immediately so they can do everything on demand. That's the real benefit of 5G from the consumer side. What's the real driver, however, from an economic standpoint? It actually is the Department of Defense again. They want to connect every single thing possible that's electronic to the internet so they can control it. Not only that, 5G allows them to use a chip called an RFID chip, but truly, when you look at the movie The Matrix, mm-hmm. It's absolutely possible now because everything truly is connected. I mean, even your washing machine can be used to spy on you when you understand this. Not only that, 5G is the first part of the spectrum that actually can be weaponized. through millimeter waves. So this is one of the big things that the United States government has known about since the 1940s and 50s that really has been the whole basis of the Cold War between Russia and the United States. Russia actually told the United States government in the 1950s that there was biologic effects from non-ionizing parts of the spectrum. And Becker and Marino talk about this in their book. The U.S. military completely ignored this, and there were several presidents who were told this and ignored it. The reason why is the military wanted to use this because they got bit really bad by the Japanese at Pearl Harbor, and they vowed from that time forward it would never happen again. This is the reason why our government, specifically the military, is really behind the electromagnetic life that we have today. The problem is, now that we have it and it's here, it's causing us biologic problems. Most of the problems that most of you think, you know, you would never put two and two together. But it turns out the real problem with 5G is, even though it allows fast download speeds, it turns out the way it works is really quirky. And it goes in a part of the spectrum between 6 gigahertz all the way up to about 90 gigahertz. Truthfully, it really goes to 120 gigahertz. That spans a very wide range. It's the widest range of any generation network before it. And the reason for that is that, and the reason why this is going to be a real problem for people to understand, certain cities are going to be able to use certain parts of the spectrum. So I'll give you, for example, where I am right now in my backyard, I'm surrounded by 200-foot pine trees. The reason why 5G will never bother Jack at Cruz Longevity Center is because Jack picked a piece of property based on the 5G that's already around me, where 5G could never get in. It's almost impenetrable because I knew what the deal was. What is Jack's biggest vulnerability at the farm? It turns out it's from above. And it turns out if you happen to live west of the Mississippi, you need to pay attention to what I'm saying to you now. West of the Mississippi, the federal government owns almost 90% of the land. So this is the reason why they're in bed with Elon Musk. Elon Musk just this week sent, I think, 64 satellites up. Those satellites are going to be designed to deliver 5G from above. So that means if you happen to live west of the Mississippi, your number one way to hack yourself is to make sure you don't live in a big city and you have metal roof and metal sheathing outside and protective glass to keep this shit out of your house. Now, if you live east of the Mississippi, the federal government only owns 3% of the land. So we have a lot more trees in this area. And it turns out that trees really make 5G almost so expensive that Verizon, AT&T, and Sprint have to come up with new things. So I'll take you to my hometown, because I'm sure some of you probably live there, New York City. You may have noticed about 5 years ago, all these crazy little boxes are going up on Park Avenue on the side of buildings. You may have also known, if you happen to be a really rich person, that you had Verizon and AT&T coming in and wanted to buy air rights on your roof, and they gave you ridiculous amounts of money for your condo fees, and you may want to know why. Because they have decided to deliver 5G there in a totally different fashion that's going to be delivered out west. Why do you need to know this today in 2019? Because it means the effects that you're going to get in certain cities are going to be radically different than you get in other cities. And this is why I try to explain to people, light works in a non-linear fashion. What does that mean for those of you who don't know physics? It means a small stimulus leads to massive amplification. And it turns out, to explain this to you fully, if I said to everybody listening, it's men or women, would you put your junk or your breast in front of an x-ray machine for an hour? If Jack wanted to do that, you'd all go, there's no way I'd let you do that. That's crazy. But it turns out, guess what? With 5G, you have to have these antennas and repeaters very close distance to where the action's going to happen on your computer or your phone. And this is the reason why Park Avenue has these antennas going up and down every building. In fact, if you look at a city block in New York City, there is usually three repeaters. In Boston, Massachusetts, where are they? They're located on the traffic lights and poles. If you see the old-style fire, what do you call them?
Hydrant?
Fire. Yeah.
Fire hydrant?
But the thing that used to have in New York that's red, I'm blanking on the name. like the signal where the fire trucks would come, all of those have been retooled. Now they have antennas inside them. In fact, the manhole covers in New York City, Boston, Washington, D.C. now have antennas on the bottom of them because there's already been reports of people that have been electrocuted from stepping on those. So you need to understand how this is being employed in different cities to know what your risk is. The key is if you're in a big city, the density of these antennas is much higher, so that means your risk is much greater. It's like putting your junk into the fluoro machine or the x-ray machine much longer. And if you understand anything about radiation, the way it works is by this law called the inverse square law. And if you don't know what it is, I want you to write it down and Google it right after. Basically what it says, the closer you are to the point source, the higher the dose of radiation you get. So you want to be as far away as possible, which is why I told you earlier that if you live in a 5G city, you want to make sure that you live in a very, very small part or suburb of the city. You do not want to be in the center. Why? Because that's where most of the radiation is going to be delivered and then passed out through the network. What makes 5G so dangerous? It's the only generation network that we know, the way it's been engineered, that allows for jump conduction. What does jump conduction mean? It means that the radiation can jump from a wireless antenna and go on to your water line, your power line, anything that's a metal conductor or insulator. So this is a real problem when you live in a city, because it turns out cities like New York, if you've been there, Con Edison has tons of wires underneath the ground. That means it can get into water pipes and get into gas pipes and get into anything. So the more of it is around you, the higher the risk is. Nobody is talking about this. And it turns out, what's the key effect? Most of you probably remember the first podcast that I did with this young lady. We talked a lot about blue light and melanopsin. Well, all the opsins in our body are bound to this thing called vitamin A. Vitamin A has a special name called retinol. It turns out this NTP study, that's exactly what they were studying. Nocturnal animals tend to have a strong covalent bond between their melanopsin and vitamin A. That means it's stronger. And in these animals, we saw that they had biologic effects. It turns out we're diurnal mammals. Guess what the bond is between our melanopsin and vitamin A? It's weak. That means it's more free. Well, it turns out when this vitamin A gets freed, it becomes retinol. Retinol is an aldehyde, and it basically releases all of its light and destroys photoreceptors in our tissues. So that means we can't handle light well. So it turns out we have a special name for this type of problem when it occurs on our surfaces. We call it a topologic effect. So Jack, in 2014, gave his members a very special webinar on topologic insulators. And most of them scratched their head when Jack did it. They're like, why is he spending so much time talking about this? Because at the time, we were 2G and 3G. What Jack knew was coming was what the game plan was for the federal government, the Department of Defense, and our economy. And it turns out that this break between melanopsin and vitamin A is a topologic effect of light. And when you liberate this vitamin A, it destroys all the photoreceptors in your tissues. So in other words, you no longer are able to use sunlight or man-made light the way nature built you, okay? The best way for you to describe it, it's kind of like short circuits occurring everywhere in your body. That's effectively what's been going on with us for about the last 10 years. So when people want to know why we have crazy SOBs on the news shooting classrooms up left and right, you'll realize the first time it happened was in 1999 when we were 2G. That was at Columbine. Now we have 15 to 25-year-olds now killing themselves more than anything else. This is also a fact. Why? Because we know depression is much more common with both blue light and electromagnetic pollution. So to fill in the blanks, the final blanks for you, so you understand where we are today, 5G is a non-native EMF story of topology. This is the second thing I want you to write down. Topology is a branch of mathematics that's focused on fundamental shapes and sizes of things as they change with electromagnetic radiation. It turns out that topologic insulators are special type of semiconductors, just like the ones that Intel or AMD used to make, but it turns out these are the ones that life makes. So, example, when Cheryl talks about melatonin or serotonin or, say, dopamine, like any of the things we talked about in our last hour, those are topologic insulators to black swan mitochondriacs. That's what Jack has taught his tribe. And these special semiconductors that life uses on our surfaces, our eye, our skin, our gut, and our lungs, allow for shape-shifting of the water networks around them in the living system to release light to the surroundings for photonics. This is how nature operates. It allows life's proteins to become photonic from electronic. And it turns out that size and shape changes drive tissue thermodynamics. So for those of you who are probably in disbelief right now, Jack gave this talk. He made a lot of these predictions from 2011 to 2014. Guess what the Nobel Prize was given for in October of 2016? Topologic insulators. So what's the key for you to know about them? Turns out with topologic insulators, waves, that means electromagnetic waves, sound waves, any kind of waves you can imagine, can emerge or disappear based on how the topology can change as the environmental waves change around them. So what have I just told you in probably the last 25 minutes? That we went from 0G to 5G in about the last 25, 30 years. This is the reason why we have the epidemics that we have today. These are all topologic changes related to different systems in our body. And it turns out, what's the major topologic insulator in our cells? If you haven't guessed it by now, the mitochondria. Your mitochondria is an electromagnetic antenna that senses these things. And when it goes awry, all hell breaks loose inside your cells. That's the reason why my members are called black swan mitochondriacs, because we go places that nobody even knows is important.
You know, if I just jump in 2 seconds, I remember when I was learning about the 5G that the government has, the Department of Defense has been using 5G technology for crowd control because it can go in and cause burning of your skin.
Right. Well, it does that and a lot more. I mean, look what just happened in the Cuban. Just look what happened in the Cuban
embassy
consulate.
There.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. But not only can you do that, they make electromagnetic weapons. I don't know if you just heard in the last 6 months that Austin, Texas, between Austin and Waco, has now been selected as a Department of Defense site for them to develop electromagnetic weapons. And, you know, for people who really don't know, because I don't want people to think that this story is just tied to, you know, weaponry. For those of you who don't know, here's another thing for you to look up. What is the most damaging electromagnetic weapon that man knows? It's called the coronal mass ejection. Where does that come from? The sun. When's the last time the Earth got hit with one? 1859. If you don't know anything about 1859, look up the Carrington event in Google. And you'll be shocked to hear that Alexander Graham Bell and Marconi, when they were working out the telegram, do you know that when this coronal mass ejection hit the Earth's magnetosphere, that people's faces got burned any place they were next to an electric conductor? That's exactly what's going to happen with 5G. The difference is 5G is not as highly powered as a coronal mass ejection. But the effects are exactly the same, just to a different degree. It turns out that we now have very strong biologic data that this leads to significant problems in man. And most of the people probably listening to this show are not 80, 90, and 100 years old, but this is the reason why Alzheimer's in the 1940s and 50s only showed up in people at the end of their life. Today it shows up in people who are 20, 30, and 40 years old. That is a topologic change. And the problem in biology and medicine is people think that you need to have a genetic change in order to get a disease change. It turns out it's not true. It turns out all you have to do is change the free radical signal from the mitochondria, and diseases show up out of the blue. And we learned that from a guy named Dr. Doug Wallace, who we also talked about last time. He's the world-famous mitochondrial researcher at the Children's Hospital of Philadelphia. And he's been telling the world for literally the last 15 or 20 years that if you have mitochondrial damage, diseases show up. If you fix the mitochondrial damages, the diseases go away. And nobody is listening to him. But I got news for you. Jack is. And Jack's members are. And if you haven't heard about this guy, you need to listen to him too. Because if you remember when we started this diatribe, I told you that Jack was actually optimistic. Why am I optimistic? Because I believe 5G is going to cause so many massive problems in biology that doctors are not going to be able to understand that eventually, as people continue to get hurt, they're going to start to realize that we have reached our tipping point or inflection point of how we can use the electromagnetic spectrum properly, and we're eventually going to get changes that we need in how we use them. Instead, we're going to start testing it before we use it, and I think it's going to lead to good changes going forward. So that's the reason why I'm a big proponent of this, but I will tell you for the last 8 years, to my membership, not publicly, I've made a lot of predictions. Like, I predicted the opiate crisis. I predicted the obesity crisis. I actually predicted what was going to happen to Scott Kelly when he went up in space compared to his brother. Why? These are all electromagnetic effects. And the key thing is, the things that we're seeing happen in kids, we are seeing kids get diseases now that old people used to get. What's the reason for that, Cheryl? They're the ones that use the damn technology. And it turns out when their brains aren't myelinated, they're more sensitive to it than old farts like me. And we know that. Here's the crazier thing. People may be shocked when they hear this. Especially if you're a food type of person, you know, there's a big what to do about the government guidelines and food and the low-carb, high-fat guys and the vegans and all that. What people don't realize is Alan Fry in the 1960s when Becker was doing his work, for the federal government showed in aviation pilots that if you sat in a cockpit, it would cause metabolic syndrome and you'd wind up getting diabetes just from the use of electromagnetic radiation. Well, the reason for that is when you're around EMF, what does it do? It exactly operates just like you eating cheesecake 24/7, like you're eating carbohydrates. And it turns out that study was repeated by Nora Volkow, who is an NYU psychiatrist, in 2011. And these are published. So if you want to know why everybody's diabetic and fat, it's because the more radiation that you use, it's like you're eating a cheesecake every single day without putting anything in your mouth. Because what does it do? It raises your glucose metabolism and it raises your AMPK pathways in your mitochondria. And people don't realize this. You know, we have very famous doctors on the internet like Dr. Robert Lustig. He's a pediatric endocrinologist out at UCSF. He's trying to get Coca-Cola to basically go into jail because he's selling fructose to people. He's going to feel really stupid in the next 4 or 5 years when he realizes that he missed the key part of the data. It's not the fructose that's getting us fat. It's the damn cell phones in the city that he lives in, San Francisco, where Cisco's based. And he has no earthly idea what he doesn't know.
So we're at the end of our hour together. So this is tremendous information. I'm sure people will be listening to this over and over again. Is the key supporting the restoration and health and function of our mitochondria? Is that the
Absolutely.
Most important thing we can do? As well as distance, because it's damaging, bottom line, it's damaging the mitochondria, which affects every single system and function in the body.
You got it. You stated that beautifully. And the single number one way for you to biohack 5G is very simple: population density. If you live around more obedient idiots that use tech, move. Simple as that.
Yeah.
If you can't move, then you have to do some extraordinary things. Maybe come down and visit me here at the Cruise Longevity Center and see what I built, because I built a fortress, and I mean a fortress. You could use X-rays on my building, which, trust me, it's all lead lined. Not even X-rays will get through my building. I made it so that this place is completely safe. The problem is most people can't do what I did. because it's exceedingly expensive to do. But the point is, I'm trying to teach doctors and patients what I just shared with you in this last hour. I'm trying to teach you the fundamentals of how physics affects the biology in our cells. And I'm going to tell you that it has nothing to do with DNA. It has everything to do with the other genome in your cell, the mitochondrial DNA. And that's the reason why I train black swan mitochondriacs. We are focused in medicine on the wrong genome. We need to focus in on the right one, the one that makes all the free radical signals that control every system in our body. Once you do that and you limit your exposure to people who live indoors, who are connected to the internet constantly and are outside like I'm doing right now as I watch the sunset, that's the key. That is your best 5G hack that I can give you.
So let me just say, people really need to go to your website, which is jackcruz.com, because you have all this information available for people to start accessing and learning from, as I did, and watching many of your videos. And then if people want more information, they can go to your other website, which is Patreon, Patreon.com, become a member. You have monthly webinars. You can have a membership that allows you to have Q&As with you, Jack, that you were just telling me now go anywhere from 3 to 6 hours. We can ask any question. Look, this is all about getting empowered with the, as I like to say, truthful information. And that's what you've dedicated your life to. That's what you've spent so much time researching. And this is what you are sharing with your members, with the public. You know, if people
Anybody who wants to learn. I mean, look, this is all inclusive. Let me just tell you, if you're in on your own game, you want skin in your own game, Jack will work for you. If this is too much for you, if you just think this is hyperbole and you can't believe it, you're not my people. Just listen to this podcast and move on. That's fine. But I can promise you this. With time, it will be shown that you're going to remember this. You're going to remember this time in our history. This is one of those big time inflection points where collectively we're all having the largest human experiment performed on us.
Yes, and it's not looking good.
It's not. Right now, it's not looking good at all. And I have to tell you, this isn't a story about Jack Cruz. This is a story about guys like Becker, guys like Marino, you know, guys like Martin Paul, guys, you know, like Henry Layout in the University of Washington. These guys have been doing the heavy lifting for the public, and you guys have been asleep at the wheel going to upgrade your iPhones and Netflix. And you want to know the truth? This may not be popular to say here, but I'm going to say it. You're your own worst enemy, and you need to realize that. That is the truth, and we need to get that message out loud and clear. As I said to you when we started this, I want you connected to the EMF you're designed to work with, and that's the one that's setting right in front of my eyes right now. That is the wireless connection that I want you to have. I want you to be outside in it and do it as much as you possibly can. The more you do, the less you'll ever need this podcast.
And I just have to wind up this conversation by saying, when you start looking, you see where light has been a constant theme. Light is repeated over and over again in the Bible. Light is what, I was just listening to a TEDx talk about these small phytoplankton that capture light, and that's what generates and fuels the life on this planet. It's all about light, and it's the light of the sun, and we need to reconnect to that. So it's pretty profound.
Well, Cheryl, this is I'm going to share this with you, and maybe this will be the last thing I say, and you'll probably love it. I told my members, I did a webinar on God. They asked me to do a webinar on God versus evolution, and I didn't want to do it. But this is what I said in Genesis 1:1 to 1:5, whether you're religious or not, God or evolution told you the answer. It's about light. When he said, let there be light, you know what they didn't tell you? They didn't tell you the recipe. I believe that our job as humans is to figure out the damn recipe. And if you really want to know what I've been telling you the last hour, I'm telling you part of the recipe.
Yeah. This has been so profound. We've come to the end, but we will carry on this conversation in future podcasts, Jack. I'm sure you're open to doing that because you're so generous with your time. And to all of you listening, please pay attention. This is really important information. It can save your life. It can change your life. So until next time, thanks for listening. We've been having this amazing conversation with Dr. Jack Kruse. Go to his website, jackkruse.com. That's K-R-U-S-E for Kruse. And until next time, always honor the wisdom of your feminine self. Bye for now.